Welcome to the Housetop Podcast, the teaching arm of Oikos Ministries. Jesus said, "Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops." Join our host, Terrell Hebert, as he teaches God's Word.
This Oikos Ministries, I'm your host, Terrell Hebert. We're Facebook Live tonight, and welcome to our teaching tonight. We're studying through the book of Ephesians. We're in chapter 6, where it's going to really just deal with four verses, verses 10 through 13. And if you've missed any of this, you could always go to our website and catch back up at www.housechurchesusa.com. And it's available there, and many other teachings are there. As a matter of fact, let me recommend, we have a series that we did just recently on strongholds that would really be a companion scripture to the teachings that I'm going to do on the next 2 weeks as we study the spiritual warfare in the whole armor of God. It's a really a good companion as we deal with the idea of pulling down or throwing down the strongholds in our lives. But this is a good start. So tonight, without further ado, we're going to read Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 13. He says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having all done all to stand, stand." And I'm going to read the rest of it just for the context of what we'll deal with this week and next. "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Now, these are our texts for the next 2 weeks. Tonight we're going to focus on those first four verses. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And so He's encouraging us to strength. Now, the subject here is called spiritual warfare, but I want to point out the one word in these verses. It's called stand. Now, in the book of Ephesians, we're given several postures that we're to deal with. The first one, we are seated with Him in the heavenly places, and then we're told to walk, and how to walk, and we've dealt with much concerning our walk. But then there's a case where He says, now stand. And when we think of Custer's last stand, it's not a cheery thought, but a stand where we literally say, this is it. Here's where we make our stand, and this is the hill we fight on. And the fact is that as a Christian, you're going to experience and will experience spiritual warfare. As a matter of fact, as He points out toward the end of this, in the evil day, we can think about it. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. Sufficient for today is the evil thereof. And the Lord's Prayer tells us to deliver us from evil. The daily prayer, deliver us from evil. And so the idea that evil is approaching and attacking us on a continual basis as a person who loves Jesus, under the Lordship of Christ, He's doing everything He can to thwart your efforts, to knock you off your game, to literally ruin your witness, to literally make you blaspheme or mess you up. The devil is a real adversary and foe. If you believe in God, you better believe there's a devil. If you believe there's a heaven, you better believe there's a hell. If you believe there's good, you better know there's evil, and the forces of evil will fight you every tooth and nail. Let me tell you, we are recreated in the image of God, and the devil wants to do everything he can to mar that image, and he'll do all he can to defeat you. And you have to recognize one thing. There's many things in my theology that I believe these things. One of them is sickness, and that we'll be healed from sickness and disease. Another one is that I believe that God forgives all our iniquities and that we are empowered to live righteously. But we're in a war. And if you don't understand warfare, people get shot in war. They get killed in war. They get injured severely in war. And you got to recognize that when the gloves come off and the reality where we're not just playing church, but we're really working in the fields for the gospel, things get awfully serious, and we need to understand that. And look, I believe eternity is at stake in these things, and we need to stand our ground. That's what the title of this message is, or to the next 2 weeks, is stand. Stand. Now, look at it carefully. Finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That strength there, he says, in dunamis. And so we are literally being empowered with dynamite power. He's saying, be strong. You be strong in the Lord. Now, and the power of His might. Again, when we start looking at those words for power, it's not the normal word of exousia or dunamis ascribed to God there. It's a bit of a different word. I'm gonna refer to my notes on some of these. This power, it means that there's a vigor, a greatness. It literally puts him as all dominion, as supreme authority, the force and ability, the strength, to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And it ascribes all the ideas of the Almighty to Him, that when we have to know this, as we stand in the evil day, as we find ourselves up against some temptation, some tests, some trials, some tribulation, and you, certainly God is testing us, but there's an enemy after our soul. The devil wants to take you down. And the bottom line is this, that when we face that enemy, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Our human strength is no match for the demonic. Our human strength is no match for these deities that have literally, that have been alive, for eons. We don't know how long they've been existing. And here they are inhabiting the heavenlies. We'll talk more about that later. And they're doing war against your soul. They're as a roaring lion seeking whom they may devour. This is a reality of the Christian walk. Now, when we see that, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Our strength will fail, but God would never fail. And He is the supreme deity. There is no greater. He is the Most High God. He is almighty. And so whatever is ascribed to the wicked one, you can believe one thing. He has usurped that through deception and fear. He tells lies so He can make you afraid, and He usurps authority, and He's the cosmocrator. We'll get back to that in a bit too. So finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. This morning I was reading in the book of Deuteronomy in our devotions, and it said that when you go to war and you face an enemy, the priest should go in before and say, don't fear them, though they might be stronger, they might be more in number. Don't even look at that. Don't fear them, because the Lord your God goes before you. And the priest was to encourage those fighters to say, look, you don't back up. The God is with you. And I think we have to understand that, you know, the fear not is one of the major themes of the entire Bible. And when we see that our propensity to fear, it's there. It's a human nature thing to be afraid of what we see. But we have to see beyond what we physically see. We walk by faith and not by sight. We have to believe in the divine power of our holy God, who is above all, Most High God, Almighty God. All power, dominion, force, strength, greatness, and might is His forever and ever. And we have to understand that and go in that strength and be encouraged in our inner man, where we don't faint, where we don't lose heart. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God. Now, that word put on means to sink in. But again, here's a directive to me and you, that we're to put on this armor of God. And ain't like God just immediately throws that on us. It says there's some duty that we have to do in putting on the armor of God. Now, the fact is that as we go on a little further, when he gets to just before part two of this message, he says, and having done all to stand. That idea of we have fully completed the task. There's two thoughts there. We've completed the task of putting on the armor, or we've done all we can do in all of our obedience to God, and we've put on the armor, and now we're ready to make our stand. We're not backing up here. And so we have to understand that as He's readying us and preparing us for the day of warfare, that we have to make our do our diligence to slip into or to sink into, that's what it literally means, sink into this armor and get so enshrouded with this armor that we are protected in divine protection, because we're going to need every bit of it. Amen. So put on the whole armor, panoplia. It's a two-part word. That whole armor means to take every individual piece and put on all the armor, take every piece. And the part of that word means the weapons of war, the tools of our warfare. And so we revert back to that teaching, as told you before at the introduction of this broadcast, that the series I did on the strongholds, or tearing down strongholds, from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 6, he says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." And I like that word, ekbalo, literally the throwing down, the violent throwing down of strongholds. That literally, it's the same words used for casting out demons. It's a forceful throwing. And see, many of you are going to have to learn to fight. You're just going to have to. You're going to have to let that fight build up inside of you that, I mean, you just, it's inside of you, just a forcefulness saying, I'm not going to back off. I'm not giving up this ground. There's a great passage in the book of Luke. It says, when a king going, talking about counting the cost, he said, when one king goes out against another king, he has 10,000 troops, and he goes out to the other king with 20,000. He sees the greater numbers, and he sends out an ambassador to him and says, let's have conditions of peace. And I think so many of us see what we're up against with demonic forces, and we desire conditions of peace. We want peace with the devil. And folks, I'm going to tell you, that is the greatest compromise, the greatest backsliding we can do. We don't want peace with the devil. We want peace with God. Our peace has to come from God. And if the devil tries to upset it, let him. But we have a peace that passes knowledge. We have the Prince of Peace. He governs us with his peace. And it's not for compromise. And it can't. The devil's a liar. And if he offers you peace, it's so he can steal your peace. He's a liar. He'll break the treaty in a heartbeat and use it to covert means to literally destroy your inner man. Folks, never desire peace with the devil. Don't back up here. Put on the whole armor, all the tools of God at our disposal. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the throwing down, the violent throwing down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And so here are these demonic high things that begin to talk in your head and come against what you already know to be the truths of God's word. And they say, oh, if you be the Son of God, or has God truly said? Did God really say those things? I mean, that's just what he does. He begins to supplant. He begins to undermine. He begins to twist and turn to say, well, did God really say that? Does it really matter on those little bitty nitpicking things? Does that really matter? Oh, come on. And he will subtly slip his way in until that high thing that exalts itself against what you know about God. Folks, it's time to stand in faith. The devil's a liar. Let the devil be a liar and let God be true. He cannot lie. And let that begin to be the very foundation of where we make our stand. God cannot lie. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on, sink into the whole armor, the panoplia, the whole armor, all the tools of our warfare. Slip into this, sink down into this, put them on. Put on the whole armor of God. Look what it says. Look what it goes on to say. That you may be able to stand. I like that phrase. That you may be able to stand. Somebody ought to start getting a victory right now. Look. If we look in verse 13, he says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand. Look, he says it twice. The ability to stand. I was putting this message together and I thought of Caleb. Huh? Caleb. You know what that word means? You know what Caleb means? Dog. That's what it means. I've grown to like dogs in my older age. I love my dog. That's a slang term, man. What's up, dog? I mean, it's kind of like demeaning, but hey, that's a term that has evolved. And so we see this idea of Caleb being dog. They came to Kadesh Barnea, And there at Kadesh, they sent out the spies to go spy out the... Look, the 40 years of the wilderness are over. Let's go take the land. Moses says, go spy out the land. Go look at the people. Look at the land. Look at what we're going up against, what we're going to see. Go and spy it out. So for 40 days, they walked through the land, checked out the whole land of Israel, and they came back carrying that... I'd love to see that grape, that stalk of those grapes. Wouldn't that have been something, huh? They had to carry it between... Two men had it on a pole. Can you imagine? Huh? Give me one of them. I bet you'd eat that and just get prettier or something. I don't know what it made. It had a, woo, that's a good grape. The fact is it was loaded with the stuff. He said, it is truly a land flowing with milk and honey. 11 of them, 10 of them spies started saying, oh, it is a fine land. But the people, they're way stronger than us. They're big. They have fortified cities. We can't do this. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. But my dog, Caleb, you know, it said he stilled the people. I love that. It said Caleb stilled the people. You know what that means? Shut up. The Bible said hush. I just couldn't. I said, there's no way. Caleb said, no, be quiet. Look, children, let's hush. I can't see that. You're talking about 10 men talking to the multitudes of Israel who've been walking for 40 years. It's time to get your victory and your promise. Inherit what God called you out to inherit. And he's going to say, no, please be quiet, children. No, shut up. Stop thinking. Stop saying that. Quit acting like the world. Quit acting like we're defeated. Do you forget our God who brought us out with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm? Do you forget? He's still the people. And he said, we are well able. Let's go up at once, for we are well able to possess the land and overcome them and possess it. In other words, we're not getting possessed by them. We're going to possess them. Come on, boy. That's how the Christian ought to think. I ain't getting possessed by no devil. I'm going to possess the devil. He said, can we do that? Yes. Why not? You see, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. God is greater than any adversary that we will ever meet. The devil is a worm in the sight of God. He is a created being with a creator. He's literally a fallen creature that our creator made. And listen, the only power he has is through deception and fear. And if he can lie to you and make you believe it, he can make you afraid and own you. God is greater than the devil. Somebody needs to change their whole way of thinking to let their life agree, your inner man agree with that. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Your inner man ought to rise up in a victory even at any time. You just think that you're a person who cannot lose and cannot be defeated. Come on. This is the same. You know what? To the Christian, you cannot lose. If the devil kills me, I will stand again and rise up in the resurrection from the dead. I win. No way. I'm a win-win situation. I either defeat him on his own turf here in the fallen world, or I defeat him in eternity. Either way, win-win. Don't compromise. Boy, somebody ought to shout out there in Radio Land. Hallelujah. I'm going to get hoarse talking about this. Look, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The wiles of the devil, methodia, the meta devices, the way the devil operates. It literally, it means to go with, before, or after. That's the first part of that word. Go with, before, or after. And then he works from behind. With, before, and he works. The devil literally tries to come at you from every direction he can. The method of the devil, from jump start, please see how he did. Adam and Eve are in the garden. God says, Adam, you can eat any tree of the garden. But in the tree that's in the middle of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, don't eat it. For in the day that you eat it, you shall surely die. So what's the devil do to tempt? He tells Eve, he says, have you considered that tree of knowledge? Well, the Lord said we can't eat that one. Did God truly say that? Did God really say that? You're not going to die. It'll make you wise unto salvation. You'll be like gods. Your eyes will be, you'll be like gods. It always starts with twisting God's word. The modus operandi of Satan is always to twist God's word. Folks, let me just clarify, your New Testament. I think there's many people today confused by blending Old and New Testaments. You don't even need to know the Old Testament if you don't have, I'm not antinomian, but I'm going to tell you straight up. The fact is that we are getting confused about Old Testament issues right now, and we're being deceived by them. And I'll tell you right now, we are in a new covenant. The old is, we have better promises. We have a better thing established. I don't want that Old Testament. We are under a new covenant with a better blood, a better promise, an eternal promise, not some temporal land called Israel that's a mess to anyone. We need to understand our New Testament and take it as the authority in our lives, that we are under the authority of God's word. And if God said it, if he spoke it, it must come true. He cannot lie. It will come to pass. When that word of God becomes authority. Now, here's our problem right now. I'm telling you right now, the authority in most people's lives, if we start looking at religious authorities and start, it might be your pastor or your priest or in some cases the Pope. Let me tell you something. I believe the greatest authority that most people lean on right now is called tradition. If everybody's doing that and it's always been done that way that we know of, then that's authority. Folks, we are being cheated by traditions right now. We are so deceived by them that we think these traditions are okay. You better wake up in this century, because have you seen the evil day approaching? Have you noticed what's going on in our generation? Have you noticed the things that are coming to pass right now among us? And so as we're watching evil personified right now, as we're seeing these things that you know, when I was in high school, they said, oh, you could play that record of Led Zeppelin. You could play it backwards and it'd be so, oh, and boy, we play, and for Satan's glory. You know, you heard some squeaky voice say Satan's glory. Oh, well, now they just say it straight up. They don't care. They just come out there and parade it. They don't care. And now we've seen that literally we celebrate everything wicked and we denounce everything good. It's a horrible generation. America is a wicked nation, and you better understand that. America is literally turning into an antichrist being. The whole nation, our government is horribly antichrist. You better understand it right now. And don't throw your flag at me and say, oh, I'm a patriot. I don't give a rip what you say about that. America is wicked. You know, Roe v. Wade was overthrown, and we're killing more babies right now through the abortion pill than we were with Roe v. Wade. Bloodthirsty. This generation hates the innocent blood. They want to kill them. It's amazing. There's a voracious appetite to kill babies in the womb. It's a horror that upon horror. It's literally a demonic sacrifice to Molech. Keep reading. He says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. Somebody ought to right there where you're at say, I am able to stand. We are well able. That's the way Caleb said it. My dog said, we are well able to stand. At 80 years old, Caleb said, give me my mountain. I know giants are on it. Give it to me. I'm going to get my 80 years old. Give me my mountain. I'm going to take my mountain now. You see, quit saying I'm old or I'm this. Dude, look, George Mueller was 70 years old when he went on the mission field and served 20 years in the mission field. Quit telling yourself I'm this or I'm that. Look, we're well able to stand. We are underestimating God. You really, what we're talking about is we're limiting God and saying, God, you cannot do this. We walk around, I'm tired, I'm sleepy, I hate my job. We're just making this big confession of we're just beat, defeated, downcast, beat up people. Man, come on. Where's the victory that's in Christ Jesus? I'm not waiting for 2000 for some future event called the resurrection to get. I have a present event called the resurrection that gives me that right now stand in me. That's what that word resurrect, to stand again. You see, literally this word to stand means somebody just got up out their seat and stood up. No, I ain't taking this sitting down. We'll make our stand right now. Boy, somebody, I pray something's stirring in somebody. You've been walking in defeat. You've been passively going on. You've been just literally taking it on the chin forever. It's some victory. You see, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, but the violent take it by force. You see, there's violence against the kingdom of heaven, but there better be a forcefulness and a violence rising up inside of you saying, I'm here to fight. Not physical. This fight is internal, that you got to fight like a person who's in a war. Somebody said, like, you better fight like you're the third monkey going onto the ark and it's starting to rain. Fight. Oh. I ain't telling you to go buy your AR-15. Jesus said, if my kingdom of this world, my servants would fight. He ain't talking about that kind of fight. You're in a spiritual warfare, and if you can't recognize it, you're already whipped. That you put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the methodology of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Now he's fixing to talk five against things. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Now that word wrestle, it's the only time it's used in the New Testament in the English form wrestle. And literally the root of it means to throw your opponent down. It's really a little form of that word ekbalo. But if you've seen good wrestling matches, to throw your opponent to the canvas and literally pinning is a big deal. That's what wrestling is all about. One thought about that, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says that he was in great agony or agon. And that basically when he was in that state, it's really a term that was used for wrestling match. That when you could put your opponent in a place where you had him in a hole. And if you've never been in one of these holes where somebody got you in a headlock, I've got an arm bar. So I'm telling you right now, you want to holler, uncle. I mean, you see them MMA, they tap out. I mean, it's like, stop. This hurts bad. Stop. You see, back in them days, they didn't stop. They just broke whatever and did whatever. I watched Royce Gracie just take his, they let him snap their arm. He wouldn't tap. It was amazing. He's just, I'm not tapping. The fact is, though, when we start looking at the idea of Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane being in great agony. He was in the war for every soul on this planet. And the devil had him in that grip. He knew it was his hour. It was the power of darkness, and it was the hour of darkness. And the devil had him in that place. Lord, Lord, the Bible says he was heard in that he feared. Jesus was shook. It said he began to sweat great drops of blood. And he was heard because he feared. Lord, if it's possible, don't make me drink this cup. Nevertheless, not according to my will, but your will be done. Let your will be done. Give me the grace to die like you sent me to die. Whew. What a man. That was a wrestling hole. The opponent, the adversary, had Jesus in the death grip. And he was about to literally exert it to the fullest with all the torture he could before he died. Amazing. We wrestle not with flesh and blood. Boy, I was getting a picture of this when I was studying this today. And we're not fighting people. You understand when you're looking at someone that you know opposes everything that you believe in good, we want to take it personal and look at that person and just, you're a devil. No, they may be used by a demon, but they're not the devil themselves. They might be demonized, but they're not the devil themselves. If we could only see beyond the veil, if we could quit looking at flesh and blood and look right through it and begin to really keep our eye on who we're fighting. There is an adversary called the devil, Diablos. Who is an adversarial? He's an opponent. He's one who would slander. That's his whole deal. He slanders. He deceives. He supplants. This is what he does. He's tricky. And I'll be honest with you. I think that some of the greatest warfare he does is in church. I'm convinced if you've been a Christian more than 3 years, you have a stronghold of tradition already. And it could be rocking you to sleep and just literally knocking you off the faith game. Think about it. And we could just settle into the tradition and justify anything we want to in it. Well, I'm comfortable here. This is where God has me right now. So I don't have to go fight that bad old devil. Okay. That means you're already defeated. That's what you're saying. It sounded good. It sounded flowery. You could even make a sermon out of it, but it's a defeated soul. Stay with it. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Boy, sometimes people make it hard to not look at them like they're the devil. I knew a guy who one time said, I quit casting devils out of people. I started casting people out of devils. People can be wicked on their own, but we need to discern the difference between the two. That people have become deceived by a very wicked enemy. And if we don't love them enough to want to see them delivered, we've lost the battle too. Or we really laid down one of our major weapons. We don't even want that soul saved. Oh, I hate this person so bad. I don't even want them to go to heaven. I won't even witness to them and tell them about this great salvation because I just don't like them. So you're judge, jury, the whole nine yards. You can look at them and judge them while they're talking. Say, I ain't talking to them about Jesus because I already think what I think. Really. So how then, just tell me how then can your feet be shod with the gospel of peace? Can't. So your shoes, your feet are totally unprotected. Huh? So the devil just goes right at your feet. I can tell you right now, if I can take your feet out, you don't have anything. You cannot stand. Amazing how we surrender our warfare from the bottom up. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, of this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 1 and look at something briefly here as we set this up. I'm trying to start, see where I want to start. I'm trying to get a context, but he is, verse 15, he is, Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him, by Jesus, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible. See, there's a visible creation and there is an invisible creation. It's very important to grasp this. That there are invisible created entities. We know of things like atoms and that kind of thing. We know they're real. You can't see them, but they're there. Right? But we have to understand the invisible creation. And when we start looking at this, look what it says. He'll define them right here. All things that are visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him, Jesus, all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Now, we're looking at this created entities, thrones, principalities, dominions. All right, we can see physical governments. We can see those things, those entities. We can see what they are. We can see people of influence. We can see people with money, people who control and leadership in the world, bosses. We can see those things. These are created entities. Now, what it is, that boss or that president, that prime minister, that parliament, that Congress, these folks, we see these people. Remember, we are not fighting Joe Biden. We're not fighting Donald Trump. We're not fighting whoever the speakers are. We're not fighting these governments. We're not fighting that judge. We're fighting principalities, powers, mights, and dominion. We're fighting spiritual warfare. You understand that there is an invisible thing behind them that even make that entity into anything. This is what we have to see. And when we see through it, we can begin to be effective, especially when we know they were created by my Lord and my Savior, the Almighty. And you say, well, why don't He do something about this? He is. He's doing exactly what He wants to do. And if we can see that in the realm of the Spirit, if we can see when the Apostle Paul said, obey the powers that be are ordained of God. And so he told us to submit to him. Romans 13, submit to him. Now, you know, we're talking about Nero at that point. I'll promise you there's never been, well, I don't know, we're getting close now. After the COVID baloney, I just told my wife at supper just a while ago, I believe that COVID may be the most diabolical thing that it was ever put out against America, especially now, and then the forced vaccine afterward. I think this may be one of the most diabolical acts that ever happened to humankind. As a matter of fact, I'm convinced of the aftermath is just going off the chain right now. It's off the charts. And so here we are dealing with these thrones and dominions and principalities and powers and mights, all this stuff, and we could look at an Anthony Fauci and say, ooh, that little rat. But what's driving behind him? We could look at these hyper-rich, really billionaires. Some of these people are trillionaires, and you just don't know. They have so much money that they're stronger than the governments. They're handling like puppets, and all the governments are broke. The devil has usurped the thrones, the dominions. Now, I know there's a belief system out there that we're supposed to go take those dominions and thrones back. I believe we're to resist the devil in every way we can. I believe the word says in 2 Thessalonians concerning the coming of the Antichrist, it says that let no one deceive you by any means that the coming of Christ, let no man, that day will not come unless there first come a falling away. And we're in it. I believe we're in that great falling away right now. America is literally so apostate, we've fallen away from truth. And if we hadn't totally left truth, left the church, we've left truth. The churches are filled. I mean, the pulpits even are filled with biblical illiteracy. And you hear sermons that I would not walk out the door to hear. I wouldn't listen to them for 5 minutes. They're dead as a doornail. They absolutely have no substance, and they're saying silly things. Stupidity. That's just where we are. And people gobble it up like it's something else. This is biblical illiteracy at its worst. And that is a departure from truth. You have a Bible sitting right there and you won't pick up the thing and read. And it's amazing. Everybody said, I'm going to read my Bible. They start in Genesis chapter 1. That's great. Now, you're about to go through several thousand pages of you don't know even what the heck you're talking about. Okay? Get in your New Testament and read the words of Jesus. Read the words of the letters to the church. Read the words of Paul. Read the words of the apostles. Start learning the new covenant. We're under the new covenant. Learn that. You do not need to know one word of the old covenant to be a Christian, to be saved, and be a saint in good standing. Learn from your New Testament. Put the other stuff away and learn about Jesus. Learn about the kingdom come. Learn about the Holy Ghost filling you. And learn about greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. We're not fighting a physical fight. We're not fighting for a land. It's not about the land of America. We ain't free nothing over here. Go to the grocery store and tell me you're free. Go buy anything right now and tell me it's free. Get out of here. Read it. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. These are beginning principles. These are archae is the Greek word. They are the, In this case, in this context, this is reference to demonic beings that are fallen, even demonic angels that are fallen, that are literally making war. Now understand, the fallenness would be into the heavenly place. When we read that, I'll jump ahead just a little bit. It says, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. That heavenly place, we look up and say, I don't see no devils up there. Now it's UFOs are flying and there's demons. Let me tell you something. The heavenlies, there is a second heaven. And our telescopes ain't seen it yet. This is the domain of the devil. They're there. They're very real. They're in the heavenly places. They're in heavenly arenas. Daniel captured this perfectly when he said that Daniel had begun to fast and pray. And when Michael the archangel showed up, archangel, so there was a beginning creature that was for good. He said, but the prince of Persia withstood me. 21 days, Daniel fasted and prayed. But day one, Michael was in a warfare with the prince of Persia, a demonic ruling spirit over the Iranian arena, that Persian and Mede empire. He withstood me for 21 days. And when we see that idea of a geographical ruling principality that hindered the work of a godly man and of divine want to, that there was a war in the heavenlies, and Daniel knew what he had to do. He stood his ground. He ate no food. He held his ground in prayer, and he interceded, and the breakthrough came. And we see a wonderful illustration and picture of two archangels in a mighty warfare. All right? And so when we see that picture, that there are demonic and devilish things going on in the second heaven, and we understand, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle against. Now, let me say about this word against. It comes from the word pros, P-R-O-S, and it, if you keep trailing it back to the actual root of it, it literally means to a face-off, a face-to-face stand before, okay? That's what it means, before. Literally, we're in the arena. If you can picture one of those old Roman Colosseums or the Ephesian Colosseums where they threw people into the... We're in the Colosseum, folks. It's just this planet Earth. And I'm telling you, we are standing in the arena before a demonic entity. You have to see this warring against your soul. It wants you to go to hell. Look, you wonder why we get so passionate and lethargic people. We don't care. Well, you know, I prayed the prayer when I was three, and I'm once I was infant sprinkled when I was a baby, and you know, and I'm once saved. I was that's it. I don't have to do anything, and I can't go to hell. I'm immunized from hell. You're so stupid. I'm so sorry. That is the most foolish, demonic, damnable preaching that has ever took place on this planet. It has rocked billions to sleep. And I promise you, you're going to rue the day that you bought into that heresy. It's a damnable doctrine. A doctrine of demons. And it literally takes all the edge off. I don't have to do anything. I don't have nothing to do. We'll see that in a minute. So stay with it. So here we are in the arena against the principality. Can you think of this? Can you imagine yourself as Daniel, who literally got thrown in the lion's den? Can you imagine yourself in that kind of... But look, it's your soul you're making war for. Jesus certainly won the victory, but is it won in you? If you're continually defeated by your old sin, your old nature, if you're continually defeated, finding yourself falling back to what you were, look, you do not have that victory. You have not become an overcomer, a Nike, a victor. We have not had the victory over the wicked one. Jesus tells us again and again in the letters to the seven letters to the churches in Revelation, he said, and to he that overcometh will I grant. What if we don't overcome? Once saved, always saved. Saved from what? Saved to what? Saved where from? Well, I mean, folks, you're just spouting off biblical illiteracy and just regurgitating the lies. It's amazing those who propagate these lies, and they've permeated our whole airwaves with this. Once saved, always saved. Every sermon has to go back. It's once saved, always saved. You know that. Yeah, I mean, we could be talking about Mary had a little lamb, and we got to say once saved, always saved. Okay. They can't help themselves. The whole Bible is defined by that little O-S-A-S. Wow. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age. Now, you see, there's a shifting in this. You see, it doesn't say the rulers of the darkness of this world, the rulers of the darkness of this age. And I believe these things shift from as paradigms shift into our contemporary settings we're in now. I mean, technology is literally the tree of the knowledge of good and evil at this point. I mean, Steve Jobs made no bones about it. What's on your computer? An apple with a bite out of it. I mean, can you get any clearer? Oh, I didn't realize it was that. Can't be that. Let me look it up. It's the knowledge of good and evil. You may not be on there just looking for some way to blow up your school. You might not be on there looking at porn all day long. But folks, let me tell you straight up, if you're just in there just scrolling all day long, you are literally eating at the tree of knowledge. This entire world has come into a conspiracy, if you would. And the one thing they're doing, we're all going to think in a demonic way. Our universities are filled with it. Our high schools, our elementaries, our daycares, our TV sets, everything is gearing up to make you think. Do you realize since the turn of the century, that we are literally celebrating one third of the year, we're celebrating psychological disorders like they're good? You figure them out. If I say them, they won't let me put this on Facebook. But they fly their flags and march their parades and stand up. They trot them out like they just won the Kentucky Derby. And you're going, what am I looking at here? Help me, Jesus. We wrestle not with flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities and powers and mights and dominions. We wrestle against the rulers of the dark, the cosmocrators. That's literally what that word means. The world rulers. You know, there's a verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. It says, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds. That's how the gospel gets so hidden. The minds become blinded because the cosmocrators are the rulers of darkness. And they will darken the mind. Those in control of the mind are just literally ruling the day. Our educational systems literally have been demonized. They've been usurped literally by every devil going. And to a good teacher who's really trying to do something, they're just like, what are we doing here? There's an insanity going on in our educational system. I mean, personally, I wouldn't send a kid into that lion's den. If every university in this nation fell apart right this second, you wouldn't see a tear out of this boy's eye. Every last one of them. Matter of fact, I believe that if we're going to pay off college debt, what we ought to do is cash in every Regent endowment that's going to fund these colleges, cash them in, pay out for that, and let these colleges pare down their courses to actually teach something that the kid needs instead of just charging them for frivolous extra courses. Oh. I'm not running for office. I'm just looking at what's happening. Help us, Jesus. We wrestle not. If we can see what we're up against and we get this vehement political posture, I hate Joe Biden. I hate Donald Trump. I hate Democrats. I hate Republicans. And there's just this constant, you got to get on one side or the other. And literally, this is what the word heresy is. It's a party line spirit. You buy into one party or the other party. That's what a heresy is. Heresy began with things like Pharisee and Sadducee. And it just kept the split going. And so there's, you know, conservative, liberal, all these things. Paul worked it. He worked it like a $3 fiddle when he said he saw that part of them were Sadducees. I'm going to work this. Boom. And just pleaded to the side that he could work with. And boy, they were at odds with each other. They quit fighting Paul. They fought each other. Isn't that awesome? So we have to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves and see what we're up against. See through it. When old Elisha was surrounded by the enemy, his servant looked out to his, Elisha, aren't you? Look. And he said, God, open his eyes so he can see what I see, that there's more for us than against us. If God is for us, who can be against us? You say, oh, that's a fatalist attitude and you can get killed that way. And you know what? 10 out of 10 still die. I'm going to die one way or another. Unless I happen to be in that generation who changes and just gets resurrected. Not rapid, resurrected. Say that with me, people. Resurrected. We all die something. How about die with valor? How about dying as men and women of valor? How about dying with people who did not lose their soul, who did not compromise with the wicked one, who did not say, I want peace with the devil. I will take peace. I ain't saying nothing about them Easter eggs. That make family problem. I ain't saying nothing about Santa Claus. That make family problem. I ain't saying nothing about Halloween. Make family problem. We're going to give some trick or treat. Just the children. Okay. Groomer. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Remember who we're fighting. Principalities. Powers. Look. Against the rulers of the darkness of this age. Against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. Wicked spirits in heavenly places. Folks, demons are very real. I've cast demons out. I've seen demons talk through people. We have had power over the devil. We've seen it many, many, many times. Therefore, because we know our opponent, what we're doing, take up the whole armor, the panoplia, all the tools that God gave us. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to pull down strongholds, that you may be able to withstand. Look, I know these tools are good, but what about you? You see, taking up these tools, immersing yourself in it, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. These days are evil. There is evil going on right now. If you can't see it, you're blind or you've got your head in the sand. These are wicked times. That you maybe, you have to be able to withstand. Your preacher can't do it for you. It ain't going to withstand because you say, I'm a Roman Catholic or I'm a Protestant or I'm evangelical or I belong to the mega church. I don't care who you call your pastor. You have to be able to stand because they ain't going to be there when you come under fire personally in your inner man. Ain't nobody under fire but you. Oh, but I'm one saved. All. You better let that lie go and stand. And look what it says. And having done all. Having done all. That means you have performed the work. You've done everything necessary. Well, you know, Jesus paid it all. We don't have to do nothing. No, this said you having done all. What have you done? Just stand there and say, Jesus paid it all. I don't have to do nothing. Okay. Don't do a thing. Don't do nothing. Don't prepare your soul. Don't read the Word of God. Don't pray. Don't do anything. You don't have to do nothing. Okay, sirrah, sirrah. I'm once saved, I always say. I ain't got to even think about it. Okay. Help yourself. Having done all to stand. Having done all. Have you done all to stand? Then why are you on them pills? Why are you still needing drinking? Why are you smoking them cigarettes one after another? Why are you still going to the bar room? What's wrong with you? Have you not, can you not stand? Why can't you stand on your own two feet? Why can't you stand up? Why can't you stand in your faith? Why can't you rise up and open your mouth? Why can't you talk when it's time? Why can't you speak when it's when the Lord says speak? Why can't you speak when the opposition rises? Why? What's wrong with you? Have you done all? Have you prepared your soul? Have you prepared your mind, your emotions? Do you? Have you prepared? Are you? Oh, come on, man. Are you? Is your soul prepared to slip into the armor of God and do warfare. And having done all, to stand. And I'll just take a little bit from next week. Stand therefore. Stand therefore. He said, having done all, to stand. Get up out your chair. Tell you something. If you're in that ring and you're looking across the ring and Mike Tyson's sitting there, when he stands up, you know you finna get your beat up. He come. He's 57 years old. He can't beat up. He coming. Having done all. Have you done it all? To stand. Can you get up out that pew? Can you get up out your church seat? Can you get up out your lethargic, sleepy attitude? Can you get up out of your own personality issues? Can you get up? Stand. We've been seated with Him in the heavenlies. We're walking with Him. There comes a place when it's just time to get up. Stand. And you make your stand. Let's do this right here, right now. Let's do this. We win. We beat that cycling sin. We beat that overcoming attitude. We beat that depression. We beat that anxiety. We beat that fear. We stand. We'll finish it next week. God bless.
We are so thankful that you joined us for this teaching today. It's our sincere prayer that many of you would be born again through hearing God's Word. If you were blessed by this podcast, we would love to hear from you. For more information on Oikos Ministries, visit us on our website, www.housechurchesusa.com.